good area, Mike.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father, we thank you so very much for, as always, this place to come together and to worship you. We thank you for this country that you gave us, that we promptly taken and turned away from you. We thank you for the finished work of the cross, the Lord Jesus, how he died on that cross, because and to pay the penalty for our sin, because we were not good enough to do so. And in doing so, he died on that cross. He rose on the third day, and he was the price that was paid for us. With his death, he bought our salvation. Father, we just ask that you would move us to be worthy of the price paid for our salvation. Help us as we go through this teaching to understand what is being taught, and open our eyes to through the Holy Spirit to your word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The flood. Oh, whoa. I think we need to turn me down a little bit. The flood. The flood, you know, the flood where the water comes in and covers the whole earth. You know, that's a controversial subject in today's thing. Was there even a flood? A lot of people say that there wasn't a flood. You know, I was talking to Harold this morning. I just caught a thought popped into my mind. And have you ever seen a book? And the book says the workout Bible, the Ford Bible, you know how whenever they go to sell something and they want a credence to what they sell, they say, well, this is the Bible for working on cars or doing your workouts or whatever. And a lot of times the people that are using that terminology don't even believe what the Bible is true. But it's amazing when they use that terminology how they're given credence. Because why would you call something a Bible if you didn't and sell it as being truth and fact if you didn't believe that the actual Bible? Sir? Yeah. Yeah. We want to be pleased. And there are people out there, you know, and when I was talking to Terrell again earlier, I said, you know, almost every religion that I can think of has a biblical flood story. And it's amazing how they all have a biblical flood story, right? Yes, sir. And what you're and a lot of people they'll come around today, and they'll say, "Well, there was a flood, but it was a local flood." We've heard that, right? We've heard they're saying that, yeah, it's true, but it was a local occurrence. And if it's a local occurrence, that means what we're reading in our Bible is wrong, right? So. There's some geology involved in this, and I'm not really good at geology, so I have some expert on the table that I'm gonna play a video for y'all, because it's kind of it's a better thing, and it's only 5 minutes long. I'm not going to do the whole session with it, and we'll talk a little bit more, but I like doing some of this sometimes, not all the time.
Oh, the question of whether the flood was global or
local. Let me start this over. Here we go.
Was the flood of Noah global or local in extent?
The question of whether the flood was global or local in extent is ultimately a question about the authority of the scriptures. After all, the scientists, the geologists in particular, declare that the earth is millions and millions of years old, and there never was a global flood. Thus, many Christians say, well, it doesn't really matter. Let the scientists deal with the science. We'll just focus on the gospel. But we need to remember that if Genesis cannot be trusted, then how can we trust John 3:16? It's a question of all of Scripture or none of Scripture. Now, the geologists say that the Earth is millions of years old because they believe in slow and gradual processes over millions of years. Sure, they believe in local floods and local catastrophes, but never a global flood. Yet when we look at the language of the Scriptures, the intent of what we read there, with all the high hills under the whole of the heaven being covered with water, the waters rising for 150 days until the mountains were covered, certainly appears to be describing a global event. Now, the context of the flood account in Genesis 1-11 is on the question of universal origins, the origin of the universe, the earth and everything in it, the flood, and then on to the Tower of Babel and the origin of languages. The context is universal, whereas when we go to Genesis 12-50, the focus is on Abraham and his descendants, the children of Israel, the origin of the nation of Israel. Therefore, in the context of universal origins, the flood is described as a global event. There are three chapters devoted to the flood account, and yet only two to the creation account. Therefore, the flood with three chapters must be very important. And again, the context declares that it was global in extent. The Bible talks about all flesh corrupted its way. God said he was going to destroy the whole earth. Why would he want to do that? Destroy all the animals as well as man if it wasn't to be a global event. The terms that are used there, as some of the Hebrew scholars have said, the spirit of the language, the intent is to describe a global event. After all, if the Holy Spirit wanted to choose the words to give us that impression, then the Holy Spirit could have not have chosen better words to describe the extent of the flood. Now, there are theological problems, too, with this whole question. After all, if the flood was only local and the fossils are a result of millions of years, then that means all the dead things, the fossils accumulated prior to man coming on the earth. That means, of course, that Adam and Eve would have been walking on a fossil graveyard. Yet the scriptures declare that God made a good earth. It wasn't until the curse that we find that death and suffering came into the world. Now, this is starkly illustrated by the occurrence of fossilized thorns in sedimentary rocks in Canada that are supposed to be 400 million years old. This is a complete denial of the scriptures if that was 400 million years old, because that means there was fossilized thorns for 400 million years before the Bible tells us that as a result of the curse, thorns and thistles came into existence. We need to remind ourselves that Jesus testified to the historic reality of the flood event. In the context of talking about the future judgment, which will be universal, he declared that in the days of Noah, they were eating, drinking, and marrying, and the flood came and took them all away. He was talking about a universal, a global flood. Similarly, in 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter talks about the last day scoffers who will deliberately reject the evidence for creation, the flood, and scoff at the second coming. The second coming will be universal. The creation was universal, was global. Therefore, in context, the flood was global. Now, after all, there are also scientific problems. Why would Noah have to build an ark the size that it was, 450 feet long, if all the animals had to do was to fly and migrate to another location? It doesn't make sense. Why tell Noah to preserve those animals on such a large boat if all they had to do was migrate away? So there are many problems with the denying that the scriptures are teaching it was a global event. So you see, this is ultimately a question about the authority of the scriptures. The scriptures declare the flood was global. Therefore, we believe that the flood was global, and therefore the scientists who weren't there, who don't know everything, must be wrong about their declaration that there never was a global flood. God's word is true, and what we see in God's world agrees with what we read in God's word.
When I see videos like that, I like to bring a little bit of them forward. It's short, and it's nice and to the point. Then we can talk about scriptures now. Now I got that out of my way. So, we're going to start. I think we stopped at 7:5 last time. 7:5, right? And something that interested hit me. It says that Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came. 600 years old when the flood waters came. Now, back in 6:1, when God declared that the Lord said, in actually 6:3, it says, the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide with man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. Who was God saying that to? It's an interesting thought. Yes, Coach. Yeah, but the question is, it didn't give us context to who he was saying it to, did it? Where's the context? Who is he talking to at this particular time? I look back on that and I'm like, it says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land, the daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of man were attractive, and they took their wives, and they took as their wives any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh, and his days shall be 120 years. Then it goes on to say that the Nephilim were in earth that day. And I don't want to get into the Nephilim. We've done talked about that, okay? But it's interesting. Who is God talking to at this time? Okay. Wesley, you're shaking your head. Heavenly host. It could be the heavenly host. It could be the Godhead. It's interesting. We look back on that, and we just came out of Noah, right? We just came out of the genealogies of Noah. And sometimes we gloss over. That just popped into my mind. Who was God talking to at that particular time? I guess it's not that important to us, but it kind of thing that pops into my mind. Also, I looked at this. This is interesting. It says in the end of 5, it says, Noah was 500 years old, and Noah fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Keep that in mind. Noah was 500 years old, and he fathered Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know who I'm talking about. Ham, and Japheth. There you go. Huh? If you go back to 532, I think it is, that's what it says. So he was 500 years old, right? It was also interesting when we get to 7, it says in 7:5, I started 7:5, right? 7:6, okay. But it says, then said, I'm going back to 7:1 to give it some context. It said, then the Lord said to Noah, go into the ark and all your household with you, for I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of clean animals, the male and his mate, and a pair of animals that are not clean, the male and his mate, 7 pairs of birds for the heaven, male and female, to keep their offspring alive on the face of the earth. For in 7 days I will send rain onto the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. Every living thing that I have made, I will blot out from the face of the ground. And Noah did all that was commanded. So 7 days, God said to Noah, he said, in 7 days, we're going to start this flood. Take all these animals and everything into the ark and get ready. And it goes on to say, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came. How long did it take Noah to build the ark? 120 years. You understand that when Shem, Ham, and Japheth was born, Noah was already 20 years into building the ark. He was already doing God's work before they were ever born. And they were born into this family, this man that was sold, that walked with God,
and born into this. It's like, and it's amazing how if you look back on it, he was already doing God's work before they ever born. In my mind, I think them already being alive back then. But if you pay attention close to the scriptures and numbers, you'll see that he was already, they were already, they weren't even born at the time that he got the commandment of God to start building this ark. In my mind, I already see him building his ark with his sons out there to help him, right? Because, you know, he's an old man. Well, he's an old man. He's 500 years old. In my terms, he's an ancient man. In his terms, he was middle-aged. Okay? He's like a 35, 40-year-old man. Hey, just in your prime, ready to get after a job. And, you know, the length of time boggles the mind in trying to understand this in today's is. Yes, sir? I don't know. I guess, Coach, he could have hired people in. I don't know. It's not told me. But maybe that's the reason why. Maybe that's the reason why it took him 120 years to do it. You know, I was watching a thing on Discovery years ago about this man that was building his own cabin in the swamp. And the ingenuity, he was like an engineer, and he just wanted to go back to nature. I guess he was tired of everything that was going on. Had an engineering degree. And the ingenuity he come up with to be able to move these big logs with no electricity, all handheld. Fulcrum rope. He was smart. He knew how to do it. He devised ways to get stuff above his head. Now, was it safe all the time? Probably not. But there are ways to do this. So I don't know if he hired anybody, but it's kind of amazing because whenever I think about it in my own mind, I see his sons out there working with him, helping him build the ark. Yes, sir. For 85 years, they would have been able to. You're right. But maybe he got all the groundwork laid before he had to start do the heavy lifting, right? But it's amazing, y'all. Say we look back in the time, and I understand exactly what you're saying, Coach. And I think for the advent of the people on that's listening, Coach, come up with the idea that, you know, when we are what our environment made us. So we look in our schools, and we think that, you know, man come from the school teaches us that man come from apes and evolved into the smart beings we think we are today. Okay. And I do that thing we think we are today. And coaches come up with the other thing that, you know, when God made Adam, God did not make Adam dumb. Like I said, Coach said, he named the animals. He had the intelligence already that God gave to him. So I don't want to continue this much longer, but it's very interesting, is it not? Like I said, I was just bringing up things that I saw as I went through. And these are misconjectures in my own thought. And if I'm missing it, I'd like to bring it up to everybody else to see what y'all think about it. And maybe y'all say, well, you know, maybe, you know what? He's right about that. And it may help somebody else down the road. But it was interesting to me that I always thought, and like my picture, my brain, my minuscule mind, I always pictured that his sons were there helping him build from the beginning. But when you actually read Scripture and read off into it, you understand that it's not always like what you think it is. And us as human beings always think that we know everything. Yes, Coach. So, now it says, so Noah and his son was wife and the clean animals and two male, two female. Oh, wait a second, I'm going to get back up. Six. And it was 600 years old when the flood waters came. So Noah was 600 years old when the flood waters came. And Noah and his son, his wife, sons, with him, went into the ark to escape the waters of the flood, of the clean animals and of the animals that are not clean, of the birds, of everything that creeps on the ground. Two and two, male and female, went to ark with Noah as God had commanded Noah. Okay, so at that particular time, God said, go into the ark, and he brought all these animals and brought all these animals into the ark. Because it's not Noah out there herding these things up. If you've ever tried to herd a set of cats, it's not, they're worse than children. Okay, they don't do what you tell them to do. Dogs are more amenable, but cats, no, cats do what they want to do. But anyway, I digress. So God made these animals come to the ark and go into the ark. It was his plan. God is authority. They're going to do what God wants them to do. He can make anything happen. It says, and after 7 days, the waters of the flood came to the earth. I don't know if it took 7 days to load all these animals onto the ark, or maybe God was giving the people out there the last chance to say to come onto the ark. The doors are still open, and anybody can come in. It wasn't. So that, in your words, then, the Jesus not opened because only one's God select. Why not? Is not the ark a type of the Jesus? A type and shadow of Jesus? That's an interesting thing. Wait a second. We'll get to that a little later. I don't want to delve too deep off of that. We'll cover it. We'll cover it. But the door of the ark is open, and I'm saying it's open for 7 days. Now, whether it took 7 days to fill the ark, why was it open for 7 days? It took that long to fill the ark. A lot of animals, right? Then it goes on to say, after 7 days, the waters of the flood came upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 7th day of the month, 17th day of the month, excuse me. Y'all, thank you for correcting me. On that day, all the fountains of the great deep burst forth, and the windows of heaven were opened. Now, we know in the creation there was water below the firmament and above the firmament, right? And it was a different creation. Some people think it was more flatter. There wasn't that many mountains out there. And when these mountains of the deep broke forward, the mountains were created that we see to this day. Possible. And it's completely understandable. Okay? It's a different earth at that particular time. And the sinfulness of man, which caused God to destroy the earth through the flood, destroyed the earth, the perfect earth that God had already made. Anyway, they said the fountains of the deep burst forth. Water burst forth from the ground and started going all over the earth. Okay? And the windows of heaven were opened. Rain was pouring out of the sky. You know, a few years ago, we had a lot of rain here, didn't we? Was it last year? We had just like an abundant amount of rain. Rain forever. People were like, is it ever going to stop raining? Then this summer came. amazing how we are. But the amount of rain and the amount of water it would take to surfing event the whole earth is amazing. Amazing. You could say that. I think God did it because God's righteous.
I asked Craig Lacey one time, and I was like, we were going to stand and witness great white throne judgment of God. See your loved ones standing in front of the righteous God being judged, being sent to hell for the rest of the people you knew, sent to hell for the rest of their life. I told him, I said, that would seem very sad to me. The way I understand what you're saying, but understand that you're going to be applauding what God is doing at that particular time. Because you'll know at that time that what God is doing is right and everything he does is righteous. And people that are going to hell is there not because of God, it's because of what they did. God doesn't send us to hell. Our lack of faith sends us to hell. Our lack of belief. We are where we want to be. God gives us the right to reject him, does he not? And if we choose on this earth to reject him on this earth, then he's going to honor that rejection in times to come. Yes. Yeah. We talk about the baby when it's born, how innocent that baby is. Baby's not innocent. That baby has a sin debt, just like everybody else. But I digress. The rain fell on the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. In the very same day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife and three wives, and his son entered the ark. So they were standing outside till it started to rain, and on that same day they went into the ark. Maybe they were directing traffic. I don't know. Orange traffic comes out and everything. Okay. They and every beast according to its kind and all the livestock according to its kind, every creeping thing on the earth according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, every winged creature. And this whole kind thing is an indication because you didn't have to have, like I said, I've said it before, you didn't have to have a chihuahua and a wolfhound, okay? You just had to have a canine. Okay? That was the way to, you didn't have to have, I don't know how many different species of birds there are, but you had to have different things. You know, you didn't have all the abundance of different type of animals that you have nowadays because they all go back, trace back to the same kind of species. They went to the ark with Noah, two and two, and all flesh were, two and two, and all flesh in which there was the breath of life. And those that entered, male and female, of all flesh, went in as God had commanded them, and the Lord shut them in. Understand, it wasn't Noah and his sons that closed the door on the ark, was it? That God commanded them to go into the ark. And when he went into the ark, they went to the ark, he shut them up into the ark and closed them up into the ark. They were within his embrace at that particular time. They were within his protection. That ark was a protection for all the creatures that were going to survive his judgment on the earth at that particular time. So, it wasn't man that shut the door. God himself did that. I can imagine that the lad, Noah and his sons walk on, and then all of a sudden the door just whoop. I could just imagine the picture of that. It says, and those that entered, male and female of all flesh,
went in as God has commanded, the Lord shut them in. The flood continued for 40 days on the earth, and the waters increased and bore up the ark, and it rose high above the earth. So, the waters continues for 40 days. You know, if it rains for 10 days around here, we start talking, well, I don't know if 10 days, but we see certain areas of the United States, if it rains 3 and 4 inches, we start talking about flash flood warning. Has anybody seen the news today? News this morning? I was watching the news this morning, and they had this Burning Man thing out in the desert. Okay? I really liked it the other day because they had like a bunch of crazies blocking off the Burning Man thing, and they had the tribal police come through and ram their truck into this barricade because the traffic was miles and miles and miles back. I applauded them guys. I'm like, somebody finally did something to the crazies. But I digress on that. But they get out there into this Burning Man thing. And because of the weather created by the hurricane that came through down in California way, they're getting all this water out in the desert. And they're out there for this Burning Man thing, and all of a sudden it's not desert anymore. Now it's mud. A little bit of rain, a minute amount of rain compared to what they're talking about here, causes all kind of catastrophe on this in this world, does it not? A tsunami that comes in Indonesia years ago come in and killed so many people. 36,000 people, was it? Yeah. It's amazing. Amazing how we don't comprehend what 40 days and 40 nights of rain would do. But if we understand what a couple of days and nights of rain does to us, how it's like, not only that, we're not getting rain, we're also getting waters gushing up from underneath the ground too. It's amazing, the idea, but we just can't fathom this because in our own comprehension, we don't have the ability to comprehend. We have to think about it. We have to rationalize it. So, the flood continued 40 days on the earth, and water increased and bore the ark up and rose high above the earth. The waters prevailed and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the face of the waters. And the waters prevailed mightily on the earth that all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered. All the high mountains. So understand, when we look at Mount Everest today, if indeed it's as tall as it is today, and there are some people think that it has grown over the years and due to the flood that caused it, but understand that just look at some of the small mountains we talk about, and these mountains would be completely covered with water. And if I'm not mistaken, I think Red Bed is supposed to be like 30 feet, anywhere between 15 to 30 feet. Above these mountains, completely flooded. There's no way for anything to live that lives on the earth at that time. If you lived on the land, if you lived in the land, you perished. If you could not breathe water, or you could not float like a whale does, well as a breathe water. Get my understanding. If you cannot live in the environment of water, well, the waters prevailed mightily, covered the whole earth, covered all them high mountains under the whole earth. And the waters prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep. 15 cubits deep. Now, a cubit, I'm talking is 18 inches. Do the math. If it's 15 cubits deep, you're looking about 32 and a half feet. Oh, 27, whatever. I'm not going to quibble upon feet. It was deep enough that you couldn't survive on it, okay? You're not going to stand in it. Touch the ground. Anybody that's been in the deep end of a pool for any period of time knows that this would be a hard place to live for this period of time. So, the water prevailed above the mountains, covering them 15 cubits deep, and all the flesh died that moved on the earth, the birds, the livestock, the beasts, all swarming creatures that swarmed the earth, and all mankind. Everything on dry land in whose nostrils was the breath of life died. Everything that walked on the ground died. Everything that lived in the ground died. If you lived on land, if it lived on land, it died. He blotted out every living thing that was on the face of the ground, man, animal, creeping thing, birds of the heaven. They were blotted out from the earth. Only Noah was left and those who were with him in the ark. The waters prevailed upon the earth 150 years. After the rain stopped, the water prevailed upon the earth. The whole earth was covered for 150 days. 150 days. A long time. 3 months, 4 months. At least 160 days would be 4 months, so it's 3+ months. Huh? Oh, it's going to change the terrain. If you look at the fossil record, now you know why that you have. I was talking to Wesley. I was looking at some of the fossil record thing, and they said that there's geographic sediments in the Grand Canyon. And they can trace these same geometric geological sediments all the way up through Canada and all the way over to England. They had thorns and thistles and fish and dinosaurs. All these animals were in the same layer. They have footprints of man's footprints right up next to dinosaur footprints they've recently discovered. Why? Because man and dinosaurs walked together at that particular time. Yes, ma'am? In other words, what Wes is saying is there the another thing for saying that all these were laid down in one particular area is you have trees, same tree going up through several different layers of strata. That's supposed to be a million years apart. It's amazing how we can fool ourselves into believing what we want to believe, is it not? We want to believe that humanity is so smart that we can fix it. Look at us today. We're going to cure global warming. All global warming is man-made, and man can fix it. Do we understand how futile that is in our thinking? We put ourselves in the place of God thinking we can do anything. That is man. What the devil wants us to do. The prince of the power of air allows this stuff to go all out in the news media. We have allowed it into our schools. There are churches that teach different things like this. And it's all degrading. If you believe in on earth, then you have to say that the Bible's wrong. See how it jumps off into it and this kills where we're supposed to be learning? Yes, sir. Coach said that God created the thing with the image of age out there. When he created Adam, Adam was fully grown. But, and you look back and you look, you call the scientists and you say, well, they look back up through a microscope and they can see the beginning of the universe because they look far enough back into it. And I would say that God created all that way. God created the earth and the universe to look in the way it does. Yes, ma'am. Okay, let's go on just a little bit more. I got a few more minutes. It says, but God remembered Noah and all the beasts and livestock that were with him in the ark, and God made a wind to blow over the earth and the waters to subside. Now, does this mean that God did not think about Noah the whole time, that 150 days? When it says God remembered Noah, it just meant God at that particular time chose to do something next in his plan. He already had this stuff planned out. He already knew all this stuff's going. He didn't have to remember like he forgot something. Okay? God doesn't forget. I don't care who you are, you're not going to surprise God. Okay? He knows everything already. But he commanded the wind to blow over the earth and the waters to start subsiding. The fountains of the deep and the windows of the heaven were closed, and the rain from the heavens were restrained. And the waters recede from the earth continually. At the end of 150 days, the waters had abated. It was the seventh month, at the 17th day of the month, the ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. You know, when I was a kid growing up, they were always looking for the ark. And then, you always heard the stories about they found the ark in the top of a mountain that was in a glacier. And understand, the ark was made out of wood. What happens to wood as it gets old? According to the elements, it probably deteriorated into nothing. But anyway, I digress on that. I don't want to get too far off into that. But it came on the mountains of Ararat, and the waters continued to abate to the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, the tops of the mountains were seen. It took for even the tops of the mountains to be seen. The ark came to rest on top of the mountains, but you still couldn't see the mountains. They were still buried. So the mountains were seen, and at the end of the 40 days, Noah opened the window to the ark he had made. You understand that they had been enclosed in this ark with the windows shut, the doors shut by God I got a little thing down here. 40 days for the rain to start and continue. 150 days for the rain, that the waters prevailed. 99 days for the waters to subside. Noah's delayed another 40 days. You understand that they had been into this ark for over a half a year at this particular time, shut up in the hose of a boat? Imagine being stuck in your house where you can't go out for half a year. I don't care how big the boat is. You can only walk up and down it so many times, okay? It's like, okay, I want to go. We have a small running track at the gym I work at. If you run around it, it's a fifth of a mile. I would rather go to a track that's a mile-long track and run around it three times than run around that little short track 15 times. Wait till you get as old as Mike. Got a scowl from Mike. Well, that's what you can think. I don't know.
I don't know.
Good idea. Yeah. Come out. You come out, you can't see. It's like, I need sunglasses to walk out of the house. Anyway, the 49, so at that particular time, he sent forth a raven, and it went forth to and forth, and the waters were dried up from the earth. And he sent forth a dove to see that the waters had subsided from the face of the ground. But the dove found no place to set their foot, so she returned to him in the ark, and the water were still on the face of the whole earth, so he put his hand out and took her and brought her back in. Sent the raven out, and the raven stayed out there, but the dove had no place to set their foot. I could imagine the ravens sitting on top of the ark eating all the debt that's around them. I don't know. But the dove, you know, the dove has nothing to eat out there, so it had no place to set its foot, so it's going to come back into the ark. I just idea. We'll talk a little more of this. I'm just kind of going over this week. We'll talk a little bit deeper. So, he waited another 7 days, and again he set forth the dove out of the ark, and the dove came back in the evening, and behold, in her mouth was a freshly plucked autumn leaf. So Noah knew that the waters had subsided from the earth. Not only had the water subsided, but the growth had started back. Because whenever they come out of the ark, they're going to have to eat, grow, right? Right now they're in this little ecosystem where they have all the everything they need, but when they come out, they're going to have to fend for themselves. They got to go out and grow. So he waited another 7 days and sent out a dove, and she didn't return to him anymore. So now another 7 days, he sent the dove out, and the dove's like, flew the coop and ain't coming back. It says in the 601st year, the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and look, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Understand that God closed it, right? But Noah removed the covering of the ark. He opened it back. It says, on the second month of the 27th day of the month, the earth had dried out. Then God said to Noah, go out of the ark, you and your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Bring out every living thing that is with you and all the with you of all the flesh, the birds, the animals, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, that they may swarm the earth and be fruitful and multiply on the earth. So Noah went out and his sons and his wives with him, and every beast and creeping thing that moves on the earth went out from the family, from the families of the ark. Then Noah built an altar to God, to the Lord, and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird, and a burnt offering on the alternator. And when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, the seed time, the harvest, the cold, the heat, the summer, the winter, the day, the night shall not cease. So when they come out of the ark, they took these clean animals and they did a burnt offering to God, and it was so pleasing to them. Why? Because they were honoring who God was and what he'd done and his provision for them. He provided for them through this calamity that was going on the earth because Noah had faith in him. Through that faith, he supplied everything that they needed to survive. That when he come out, they burnt offerings to him saying, it pleased him so much that he said that I'm not going to destroy the earth for the sake of man. Because why? Because for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. It doesn't take long for us to be corrupted, does it? Take that little baby, that little sweet bundle of joy. Carry that little baby around. They figure out that, and then you set it down, and they cry, and you pick them up. And you set them down, cry, and you pick them up. Like, oh, they've already figured out how to do it. They are. Have that sweet little bundle of joy, that youngster that says, don't touch that, it'll burn you. and daddy's, don't touch that, it'll burn you. Hold you. We are disrespectful from the beginning, are we not? If we really truly look at what we are, we thank the Lord that we have a God that loves us enough to fly away out of our own stuff that we do to ourselves. God loves us so much that He found that He got a way out. That's through the finished work of the cross, ladies and gentlemen. That's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's simply by believing. You know, if you're listening to my voice today, you don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to say a certain prayer. You don't have to be baptized. You don't have to do anything. Simply believe. Jesus Christ died on the cross some 2,000 years ago today. And He did that for you. Because you couldn't do it for yourself. You're a sinner. Your sacrifice would not be good enough for God. And there's nothing that you can do in this life that'll make you good enough for God. Because everything we do, the Bible says, is like dirty rags. Because everything we do comes out of a simple heart and simple mind. And it takes God Himself and down the cross for us. The atoning death on the cross so that He could pay the price for us. And we simply get to Him nowadays by simply. Does that mean you should believe and then go out and do whatever you want to do? No. You were bought with the price, gentlemen. Bought with the price. The price was death. And so because God died for us on a cross, we should give our lives to Him today in payment for that. We should be doing that. Does that mean you have to? Does that mean there's a certain set of things that you have to do once you become saved? No. Simply believe gets you in the door. When you believe Jesus Christ, you are a son of God. You are in the family. And you can't be kicked out of the family. Once you're in the family, you're in the family. Does that mean we should go out and do whatever we want to? No, we should serve God because of what He's done. Gratitude. Whenever they come out of the ark, they made a burnt offering to God. Gratitude for what He had done. We say we forgot. About out of time. Wesley, would you close us this morning? It'll be interesting when we get into the other part. Once we get out of the Genesis and everything, we get through this and we get into Abraham, then it becomes a land issue. And it's going to be interesting if you. I've seen some people and they talk about how the land is the thing, and they can show you on a map how the warring of that particular area was over the land, how it could utilize at that particular time. And it, you know what? Today. Still fighting over the land. War is still over in Israel. What God had promised. Amazing how some 2,000 years later. Some 3,000 years later. I would have to go back in time. But it's amazing how it's fighting on. Okay, guys, let's shut down for this morning. I appreciate y'all coming.